Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Welcome to the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and hey, like I said, it's Friday.
Start spreading the news.
What's up, that song? Me and Schomburg Stu's here. Stu, how are you?
I'm hanging in there now that Thanksgiving is over with for another year.
Yeah. And I was wrong. Right before Stu and I got on, my TV went off in the other room. It wasn't a weather alert. Unfortunately, it was an Amber alert. So hopefully they will find the child they're looking for safely. But, yeah, so not the best deal there. But as we move along here, if you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for one popping up there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, if you hit that link, it'll take you over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page, and you know the deal. You went all the way over there. Go ahead and like it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, we still don't have Stu on Twitter, but feel free to hunt me down at Burke Time, and I will pass along any message you want to leave for Stu. So, all right. Well, what's going on? What'd you think of those two NFL games yesterday, huh?
Well, I didn't think Detroit was that bad. And I knew they were bad, but not that bad. And certainly, they didn't. Their defense left a lot to be desired yesterday.
Yeah, I didn't have any problem with the games. I mean, they went kind of how I expected them to. What really bothered me is, you know, I'm stuck now. I think I mentioned that. I used to always listen to WGN in the morning in my office. The radio only gets AM, so I can only pick AM stations. But they can the overnight guy I like, so I had to find something else to listen to. So I've been listening to one of the local sports radio stations, and last night being the holiday, the regular guy was off, so they had the CBS sports feed because they're owned by CBS because everything is a big, gigantic conglomerate now, and there are no real individual radio or television stations anymore. And all this guy kept complaining about, and I think he went on for about 2 hours on it and just kept taking calls, was how come we have to watch the Lions and the Cowboys every Thanksgiving? And I couldn't believe he got so much mileage out of it, because the answer is really simple. But I'm sure he didn't want to listen to it. The reason we get the Lions and the Cowboys is because it's tradition. If you watched the Lions game yesterday, they actually brought up the Lions' original owner, and I'm drawing a blank on his name. But he was the guy who started the Thanksgiving Day tradition. You know, he moved the team from Portsmouth to Detroit, and he came up with the idea of playing a game on Thanksgiving. So, the reason they get the games and they host the games is because they've been doing it since, you know, 1930-something. So, yeah, I was just kind of – it got to the point where I couldn't even listen to the guy anymore, because he just kept drolling on and on. And, you know, it was like, was it really that bad of a game? I mean, you know, there was a lot of offense, and you know, it was competitive early. It got away from Detroit late, but I think that was a better game than the Redskins Cowboy game. I mean, you know, once the Redskins got rolling in the fourth quarter, you know, the game got moving. But up until that, it was kind of boring.
Yeah, and the Cowboy game has been a tradition also, but not nearly as long as the Detroit Lions have been playing their game on Thanksgiving morning.
So, yeah, and you know, I get it. There's less complaints about the Cowboys because, you know, they're America's team, but humorously, with the loss, they're now 3-8, and even though Detroit lost, they're 4-7. So Detroit actually has the better record when you look at the two teams. And I mean, you know, if they matched up, I wouldn't be surprised to see either team win. Yeah, for whatever reason. I mean, you know, the Lions at least put up 25 points. The Cowboys only managed, you know, one touchdown and three field goals, you know, in their game. So, you know, if you're going to compare teams right now, is Detroit any worse than Dallas at this point?
No, and Dallas has really fallen on hard times, haven't they? They at one time they really were America's team when they were a winner and a playoff team and a contender every year, but not so anymore.
Yeah, no, I know just a boatload of people who, you know, when I was a kid, you know, they grew up as Cowboy fans because the Cowboys used to win. And I don't hear much from them anymore, especially this season. You know, they've all went into hiding and they're really quiet. So
a lot of people who live in a local area sometimes support another team, an out-of-town team is their favorite. And that's never been my forte, at least. And I've always rooted for the local teams, the Cubs, the White Sox, the Bulls, the Blackhawks, the Sting. Remember the Sting?
Oh, yeah.
Among others. And I've never really had much of an interest in rooting for an out-of-town team, except when it comes to, for example, the seventh game of the World Series between the Pirates and the Yankees, that famous World Series where Mazeroski hit that winning home run in the last of the ninth after the Yankees tied the game with two runs in the ninth inning. I mean, I was rooting for Pittsburgh, and I guess most of America was rooting for Pittsburgh. But that's as far as it goes.
Yeah, you know, I get it. You know, as a kid, you want to support a winner. And, you know, when I was growing up, the Bears weren't any good. You know, it's just that's how it was. I mean, they were always bottom of the division, and, you know, it was just one of those things. So I get that, you know, you want to grab on. It's just like, you know, not only do I know a lot of people who were ended up being Cowboy fans, but there were a lot that, you know, gravitated to the Steelers or to the Raiders because, you know, those were the teams that did a lot of winning in the 70s, the early 80s there. You know, when I was a kid growing up. So I get that they kind of floated that way, but yeah, I just get a bigger kick out of it now because, you know, like I said, they're not saying a word. I mean, you don't hear anything out of any of the Cowboy fans now. And, you know, I know guys who have the whole deal, the jerseys, the jackets, the starter, you know, the fitted caps and, you know, all the things that go on. And yeah, there's not much coming out of their mouths now. So it's kind of interesting.
You think a lot of the fans that have supported America's team have gone off the bandwagon then because of how they've done the last few years?
You know, I don't know. I don't know how many people are, you know, quote unquote bandwagon jumpers like that. You know, I'm sure there's always a few. I mean, you know, I always see the guy at work who's got the newest gear from the winning team. So, you know, I guess there's a few people like that, but you know, generally if you start with the team, you stick with the team through thick and thin, you know, unless they, really do something disastrous and, you know, make you change your mind. And, you know, I'm sure there's times, you know, you give up and you, you know, you either don't want to watch or you don't want to watch. But, you know, I think for the most part, I mean, look at how many Cub fans stuck around finally getting a payoff there. What was that, about 15 years back now? No, what was it, 4 years ago finally?
It seems like an eternity ago. And there's a term for those fans, by the way. It's called a fair-weather fan. You get on the bandwagon when the team's a winner. As soon as they start losing, you leave the same ship. But that's not a true fan, is it? That's not really a legitimate fan.
No, you know, because you're jumping from, you know, team to team like that. It's tough to, you know, it makes it tough to take them seriously. But, you know, generally, those aren't the kind of people who are looking to get into a sports discussion. So it's not the worst case scenario with stuff like that. There are a few occasionally that will try to argue with you or want to argue with you, but yeah, it's not that big a deal in general. They just, they kind of like to look the part. And there's actually a very humorous take on it on The Simpsons from one of their episodes, just a real minor setup. You know, Homer walks into the bar he always goes to, which is Moe's, and the baseball game is on. It's the Springfield Isotopes is their name. And somebody mentions it to him, and they go, he's like, oh, you know, what are you talking about? They stink, blah, 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 all that, you know, all this, all that. Then they go on to tell him that the team's having a good season and they're about to go into the playoffs. He walks out the door, comes right back in, dressed head to toe in their gear, and he's the guy the news reporter ends up interviewing when the team wins. So it just really kind of, signified the definition of fair weather fan. I mean, you know, there's a ton of, you know, like I said, just a ton of people, you know, like that. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's what you get with sports. And it's just kind of like, you know, you don't really pay them any, never mind. And, you know, just kind of chuckle when they start to talk because, you know, next week they'll be rooting for a different team.
Yeah. One of the most exciting things about following a team for a long time is that if they're an also-ran for so many years and then they slowly start to develop into a winning team and they start winning and they're a little bit more competitive and they're over 500 and then they become a contender and then they finally win it. Hey, that reminds me of a team that I was following for a long time too, doesn't it?
That's always a nice deal to have when it finally pays off. And you do wonder at points in time if, you know, it's going to pay off for some of these, you know, some of these teams or some of these fans as it moves along. But yeah, it's just one of those things.
Sometimes you can follow a team that's not a winner. I mean, as long as they're competitive, if they're competitive, then it's okay. You can follow them. And as I mentioned, of course, being a Cub fan as long as I have, I've seen a lot of teams over the years that have not been a winner and not been a contender, but they were competitive. They gave the opponents a good battle. And that's all you really are really looking for when it comes to following a team. As long as the team is competitive, then that should be, you can suspend the contender year after year after year, winning it all. As long as the team puts on a good performance and battles a little bit, that means a lot to me.
So, yeah, you know, it's helpful, you know, when the team can kind of hang around and, do that. But, unfortunately, there are a lot of teams that, don't kind of get there. It's kind of like,
no.
Oh, okay. So.
Yeah, don't forget there can only be one winner in each sport, and so it doesn't
yeah.
happen all the time. It doesn't happen all the time, but at least fight a little bit, and so you think that maybe they have a chance to do something, and if they don't, well, they gave it a good shot, and they gave us some exciting times watching the games, and that's all we can hope for. What if they roll over and die, and they have no offense and poor defense, and hey, I'm talking about some of the Chicago teams now, right? I mean.
Well, luckily, it appears that, the Bears have solved that problem this week because I saw that they named Mitchell Trubisky the starter because Nick Foles is injured. So.
If Foles wasn't injured, do you think they would have started Trubisky anyway?
No, I honestly don't think at this point that there's any real reason to look at him. His contract is up. You're not bringing him back. There's pretty much zero chance of him returning. So there's no need to even look at him because all you're really doing is showcasing him for another team if he happens to, put a couple good games together, then it even screws you up even more, because you got to deal with, the quarterback BS again because, at this point, unless something changes, and I don't know what would, Foles is your quarterback next year, as sad as that may seem. He's under
contract. That's a very exciting scenario to me, that's for sure. And think back a few years, though. Didn't Trubisky have one of his best games ever as a Bear, at least in the first half, on the road against the Packers? You remember that one? And the Bears wound up losing the game in the last few seconds.
Yeah, I don't remember it, but, it wouldn't surprise me if he did. It's just, so much of it is a blur that I don't know, what's what. So.
Well, you're saying that now, but after Mitch has 130 or 140 QB rating for Sunday night's game, you'll be singing another tune. You'll sing, hey, he found himself. He's our quarterback.
Yeah, well, the sad part is that's the worst thing that could happen to the Bears right now would be for him to actually play well going down the stretch here and get people to start thinking that he is the guy and they need to bring him back. So.
Yeah, that would be a disaster, I'm sure. And well, wouldn't it be ironic if on Sunday night the Bears pull a huge upset, and they're losing by a couple of points. 30 seconds to go in the game. Trubisky has a chance to win the game, and then we get an Amber Alert.
Yeah.
I'm wondering for the day arriving and when that will happen, and the complaints that we'll see the next day.
Yeah, there's always going to be people who complain about that. I mean, it's not not like it was the Heidi game or anything like that they were switching it off for. Obviously, an Amber Alert is very serious business.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
But yeah, there will still be people who would complain about it. There would be.
Oh, sure. For sure. And when that Amber Alert comes on, I think it's on every – you can't switch channels. I mean, it's on every channel.
No. Yeah. So it's just kind of how it goes. So.
Well, you hope there's a successful conclusion to the Amber Alert, and that's all you can hope for.
Yep. But yeah, like I said, you just kind of wonder when what people kind of think about. It's like, wait, you're complaining because you missed the end of a game. Yeah, okay, let's settle down here,
Yeah, of course, I'm thinking now again, talking about that same scenario, ninth inning of Game 7 of a 2016 World Series, ground ball to Brian, and there comes an Amber Alert.
I'm sure there would have been plenty of Cub fans, going crazy at that point, wanting to know what happened. But you can still see the play in the background. So
yeah,
just wouldn't get the call.
Yeah, I wonder if those Amber Alerts are also over the air. I mean, if you don't have cable and you're watching an over the air channel, would that come in also the same way? I wonder.
Yeah, I don't know. I have to ask Dan because he's not running with cable right now, so he might actually be able to answer it.
Dan, sounds like Dan's living in the Stone Ages without having cable.
Well, now you can, you can stream everything. He doesn't really miss anything. I think he's got like the Hulu or one of the other services like that. And, there's just so many different ways to watch television now that, a lot of people are, as they say, cutting the cord when it comes to cable service.
Didn't Hulu drop the Marquee channel?
I think they actually added it. I believe they added it in about the middle or late of the season because Dan was mentioning that he finally got to watch Cub games towards the end of the season. And again, it may not have been Hulu. It may be another service he uses. So I don't want to disparage Hulu, who I know just put out a great deal. I guess they're offering their service for $1.99 a month if you sign up for like a year. That's their Black Friday deal. So if you're a streamer, maybe that's something you want to get.
Yeah, I find that I haven't had 100% success sometimes when I stream. I'll get sound drop-off or problems. I have to reboot. And even with a very strong download signal, I get very, very strong, one of the highest out there. So I do have my issues with streaming, but most people don't. I know you don't.
No, I've had pretty good luck. Oddly, the only issue I had was last year during the World Series, I was streaming it on Fox because I just happened to be in this room, and every time they went to a commercial, I had to reload it to get the next inning. But other than that, I've had fairly good luck with it, and obviously – basically all I use it for is to watch all the different baseball games. I don't do, I don't binge watch anything, as they say, or, occasionally I'll watch a Netflix movie, but now that my damn office chair is broke, I can't sit in it long enough without my back hurting to get through an entire movie. So that's kind of put a cramp in that.
Well, just think, you might get it fixed next week.
Yeah, hopefully it would, it would be nice, but, obviously, you can get a lot of nice sports streaming options. Of course, if you're willing to pay for them, if you have that kind of money, I mean, you can watch, every baseball game, every football game, every hockey game, every basketball game. There's a soccer package. I'm sure if you pay for, DAZN, if you're a boxing fan, I know they do a ton of boxing. Like you, they could get the WWE Network for that low, $9.99.
Then
you could watch
sure.
all the wrestling and get your hands on. So, yeah, if you're willing to spend the money, and that's the odd kind of part about it is, you would probably spend more money buying streaming channels than you would on, you know, a cable or a satellite setup.
Yeah, and
you know, and obviously,
yeah.
You know, you wouldn't have the options to every sporting event, but you still get quite a bit.
Yeah, and could you see, other than sports, could you see yourself actually binging on a program, watch 5-6 episodes in a row, which is on Netflix? I cannot do that. I don't see how anybody has enough, could sit down and watch 5 or 6 one-hour shows back-to-back, binging on that. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, the most I ever did, I watched 3 episodes of Parks and Recreation in a row, because I was trying to figure out if I wanted to go through the entire series. So I watched like the first 3 episodes, but it's only a half hour, so it was an hour and a half.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
Even a little less than that, because you know normally a broadcast program now is what, 22 minutes with the commercials. So
a half hour show, that's about right. Yeah, it's about 42 minutes on an hour show, roughly 43 minutes for an hour show.
But, yeah, no, I see people all the time who post, yeah, you know, I just binge watch, you know, whatever. And I'm like, man, you know, there's like 8 seasons of that. And, you know, you figure on average there's 17 or 18 episodes a season. And all I keep thinking is, man, how long did you just sit in front of your television? So,
yeah. In the early days of TV, when TV first started, believe it or not, the average season was 39 weeks. If you can believe it, 39 weeks, which is a lot of work for the actors, especially.
Yeah. Well, now you know what, they're lucky if they kick out what, 15, 12, or 15, if we're lucky.
Yeah, that's about it. The most shows in England, for example, and they show them on Masterpiece Theater, run from 6 to 8 episodes.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, no, that one comedy I was watching was from there, and it had the short seasons. So.
Yeah, Fleabag, which is very popular, I think it was on Netflix or Amazon for a couple of seasons, only had 6 episodes a season.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you remember. Remember, I was chasing down that Humans show. That was a BBC show, and it only had 6 or 8 episodes per season.
Yeah, that's about all they do. And they're actually going to be less than some shows now because of the corona. For example, I think Doctor Who, which is coming back for a new season, usually have 10 or 11 episodes, and they're going to cut back to 8 for the next season because of the difficulty in filming because of the virus.
Yeah, I think a lot of programs are cutting back. You know, even here, you know, we're not going to get the full slate of, you know, and I mean, even like last season, they had to cut some shows short, you know, so.
Yeah, I think I may have mentioned, I don't know if I mentioned to you, but there's one show I do watch, American show, The Blacklist, very popular. It's been on 7 or 8 years on NBC. And because of the virus, the last episode, it was partly animated.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was actually animated for maybe 10 or 15 minutes of the 42 or 43 minutes of the show, which is kind of jarring when you watch it.
So, yeah, you know, I haven't found, you know, they got rid of a couple shows I liked. You know, I used to watch The Big Bang Theory, you know, all the time. And, you know, now I'm down to, you know, like I still enjoy The Simpsons. I know it's not as good as it used to be, but, you know, I normally relax and watch that after football. And then I record Family Guy, you know, so I basically the two shows I end up watching are both animated shows. I just haven't found anything else yet that I like. You know, I always kind of try them out or check them out. And I can't seem to stick with it or enjoy it, but you know, I still keep hoping that we're going to get a sports-based show somewhere along the line that's going to be good, and I can watch that.
That would be nice, but I wouldn't hold my breath.
No, you know, it's difficult. You know, there haven't been very many successful ones. You know, it just must be, you know, difficult to write, or, you know, however it works out. So
didn't Lyle Alzado, the late, I think he's deceased now, play a pro wrestler,
yeah,
or a masked wrestler in a show a few years ago?
Oh boy, I don't know. He might have. Let me see if I can bing Lyle Alzado here and see if we can find out what he is. I know, you know, Leon White, who wrestling fans know as Big Van Vader, or just Vader, depending on where you caught him. He made multiple appearances in that Boy Meets World sitcom. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about Lyle Alzado here. Let me see if I can find something. Of course, I think I just butchered his last name here. I'll have to try that one again and see if I can do a better job.
Well, I know that Freddie Blasi did some guest appearances on a couple of the major comedy shows a number of years ago. When he was based out of California.
Let's see what they have here. Well, he, it's possible. I didn't realize he made so many appearances. Yeah, here you go. He was in a TV series called Learning the Ropes. So, wow, you got a heck of a memory there. He played a character named Robert Randall, and this was back in 1988.
Wow. I can't believe it went back that far.
Yeah, here's the synopsis. It's a Canadian sitcom about a private school teacher who also moonlighted as a professional wrestler. So...
Well, now that you mention it, by the way, there was in true life, there was a high school instructor who moonlighted as a very, very famous professional wrestler for the WWE and other organizations.
Yeah.
You know who that was, of course.
Yeah. There were actually two. If you remember, the one guy wasn't as famous as George Steele, who I believe you're talking about.
Yes.
But if you remember... Matt Stryker got fired from his teaching job because they caught him using time off to go wrestle.
That's right. I forgot about that story. There was a funny story about George Steele. I think his real name was Jim Myers, teaching in the Michigan system. And one of the students supposedly recognized him and said, "Hey, don't you wrestle on TV?" And he said, "How could you insult me by saying that? Comparing me to that person you're talking about. You're thinking of somebody else." And the student believed him.
Ah, and here, I'm sure you won't be surprised by this. Learning the Ropes lasted 13 episodes and only made it that far. So
it doesn't sound like what. Yeah, that's right. If I remember, it was not a very successful TV show.
But, yeah, it also Dr. Death Steve Williams was also one of the main characters in the show. But going through the acting list here, I don't see any other wrestlers listed. So good.
There have been a few pro wrestlers who have had a successful career in the acting business, too.
Yeah, well, you know, and I know the other show I remember, and I never really watched it, but what were they called? I think they were the WB at the time. They had a comedy where I think one of the feature characters was a pro wrestler and actually wrestled in a diaper, and he was Big Baby. And, you know, he wore the bonnet, and and all that stuff. But for the life of me, I can't remember the name of the show.
It must not have been a very good one.
No, you know, if I remember correctly, it was a little strange. You know, I watched it once and didn't enjoy it. But yeah, for the life of me, I don't remember what it was called or who even starred in it. But
an episode, I understood that Glow, the Netflix Glow TV show, was pretty successful for 3 or 4 seasons.
Yeah, you know what was weird is I did watch that. I did manage to eventually get through all of it on Netflix. And for me, I thought the first season was very good, and then from there on in it got worse. So
you would think it would be hard to sustain interest in a show like that for more than a season or two.
So, yeah, you know, and I guess, you know, maybe because I actually watched the real Glow, and I believe it was supposed to be based very much on how that went, and I found it hard to buy as it went along, you know, the more and more it went along. So,
well, there certainly were a few actors who got started in pro wrestling and had a fairly decent career. I can think of one off the bat. You may have not heard of this name. His name was Mike Mazurki, and he always used to play the heel, and he had a pretty decent career in the movies, as did Tor Johnson.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard of Tor Johnson, but he was in one of the, reputed to be the worst movie ever made, called Plan 9 from Outer Space, with Bela Lugosi.
I thought maybe Manos, Hands of Fate. Isn't that supposed to be a really bad movie?
Also, yeah, but Plan 9 from Outer Space has the reputation of being the worst movie ever made. In fact, Bela Lugosi in that movie, of course, he was very sick at the time. He actually died during the production of the movie. And they had to finish some scenes with a neighbor of the one who directed the movie wearing a cape and kind of concealing himself in the camera.
Yeah, well, believe it or not, I found the name of that show I was talking about. It's actually called Nikki, and it lasted for 41 episodes.
Wow.
Yeah, so...
Well, how many seasons did that entail? Was that a couple of two seasons at least, would you say? Or?
Yeah, well, it went for... Technically into a third season. It went for 2000 to 2002. So
now that's an obscure title you came up with this time.
Yeah, but you know, looking at the list here, I'm kind of realizing that there are some actual successful wrestling shows, but they're all in different countries. Not here.
Oh, you're probably talking about, for one thing, I'm sure that there's been a lot of movies, and we know this for a fact, a lot of Lucha Libre movies made in Mexico,
yeah.
Whether all the mass wrestlers are pay the heroes in the movie. Haven't there been quite a few of those?
Yes. One of the ones I saw list here where Blue Demon is ranked number 2. And this, they actually did a series about it, lasted a couple years, just recently, 2016, 2017.
Yeah, that's been very popular in Mexico, some of those movies. It was very, very successful over the years.
But yeah, a lot of Japanese, a lot of animation, that, you know, very, very successful. So, but yeah, just nothing... Nothing here that seemed to land. Yeah.
Well, the Japanese people have always embraced professional wrestling. I'm not sure if it's quite as popular now as it used to be years ago, but it was a big deal when they the wrestling stars came into Japan and wrestled there for a month or two. Yeah, it was huge capacity crowds, and they took it very, very seriously too.
So, well, here I think I believe this is the one Cody Rhodes is involved with that is in, as they say, pre-production. There's going to be a show called Heels, and here's the synopsis. It's two brothers and rivals, one a villain or heel in the ring, the other a hero or face, war over their late father's wrestling promotion, vying for national attention in small-town Georgia. And it stars Stephen Amell, who a lot of people will remember from the Arrow series. That just ended recently. But I know Cody missed some AEW dates to do some filming for this show. So I'm under the impression that he'll be making at least one appearance.
Now, has this show actually been formally picked up by a network?
You know, I'm looking here, and it doesn't say... but they filmed 8 episodes, so I'm under the impression it's going to air somewhere at some point.
Yeah, well, you would think so, because with 8 episodes in the can, that's like a full season by today's standards sometimes. Sometimes, of course, there have been pilot shows that are filmed years past. They would do a pilot for a show, and that would be it. It wouldn't be picked up by a network, and that was it. The only thing available would be the pilot of the show. For example, there's a famous cartoon strip serial called The Phantom. It's been on for years and for one form or another, and they did one pilot episode for TV, but it was never picked up by a network, and that was it, the one pilot show, and that's all there was. But if you said 8 episodes, you would lead one to believe that show's going to be on sometime or another in the near future.
Yeah, it looks like here it's going to be on Starz. So,
well, that's a pay-per-view service.
Yeah.
So.
Which oddly I get, so I'll probably have to record it and see what it's like.
Yeah, I used to get that, but I can't get it now because I don't have the X1 box for some reason on Comcast. But unless you have the X1. A cable box, you can't pick up Starz. I mean, I get everything else but that one. So I never could understand why that is so, but that's technology for you.
Yeah, and, you know, I can't believe I forgot about this one because it just started recently. So I'm thinking you may have to go on Netflix, where I believe this is available, and watch it. I forgot that they have the Big Show Show, which obviously features Paul Wright, the Big Show, in wrestling. He has a comedy show. So you may have to go on. You know, it's a sitcom about him being a father. So you may have to go and, you know, take those in. It's only 9 episodes. So
yeah,
you may have
them.
To give us a report next week on
definitely check out the Mr. White Show and see how that is. I'm surprised it wasn't picked up by the WWE Network.
So, because, yeah, if I remember correctly, it's recently been, I believe it's canceled. I don't think they're going to do a second season. But, you know, I do remember hearing decent things about it. And, you know, he does have the Big Show has a really, if you've ever seen him interview, I've seen him on like the MLB Network and stuff. He does have a personality. So
he
is entertaining. But yeah, just kind of, you know, so yeah, there's some of your options. If you're binging, maybe you can look for Learning the Ropes with Lyle Alzado and, you know, let us know, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com, what you thought of it. So.
Well, the last time I binged, it's cause I watched one episode a day, and I highly recommend it. It's got a lot of hype, is that Queen's Gambit on Netflix about a girl becomes a chess prodigy. It was really quite well done. Very good, very popular show, and got a lot of hype. It's been covered in a lot of the papers and national TV, and it seems to have led to a resurgence in the game of chess because of the success of the program.
Yeah, they do. Netflix, you know, I give do a lot of, you know, the sports-like documentaries I've seen. They do a really good job. You know, I watched the Ronnie Coleman one, the bodybuilder, and that was fantastic. And then they did a really nice piece on the Larry Nassar situation with the gymnasts that he assaulted. And they did a really good job with that. So, yeah, I've had really good luck watching, you know, stuff on Netflix. To be fair, though, I did watch a horror movie that starred CM Punk, and it wasn't very good. But I've had good luck with.
Yeah, their documentaries are very, very, very well done. I don't know if you've ever seen The Making of a Murderer about that guy in Wisconsin that was arrested, and there was all kind of... I'm sure Dan has seen it. It's made a couple seasons of that, and it's really fascinating to watch.
So, like, you know, like I said, I've had really good luck, and, you know, I'm sure, you know, I know a lot of people who liked GLOW much more than I did, so if you haven't checked it out, you know, I'm sure it's still available. I know they canceled it because of the coronavirus. They originally renewed it and then decided because of the situation going on that they would cancel it. So,
I never even liked the original show. It's just too much of a caricature and wrestling.
I used to watch it, A, because the women were very attractive, and B, because it was so campy it made me laugh. But obviously it wasn't a serious wrestling show. And, you know, like I used to, when they had WOW on, I actually used to record it just to kind of see what they were doing. And the wrestling was much better, you know, it was actually women who were trained as professional wrestlers. But the biggest problem with it was the fact that David McClain, who was the owner of GLOW and, you know, owned WOW, and I think he owned a couple other deals there, you know, with women's wrestling. He hasn't changed his character, so it's still that 1980-ish, over-the-top, you-want-to-punch-in-the-face type of guy. And he's the worst part of the show. He was the worst part of WOW. You know, the wrestling was at least better. It's not great by any means, but it was better. But I couldn't put up with him on commentary.
Yeah, he was pretty obnoxious commentator. But, hey, I've always had a thing for the farmer's daughter. What can I say, right?
Sally, the farmer's daughter. And,
yeah.
You know, you mentioned streaming. If you use the Pluto, which is a streaming service that it's basically set up a lot like television. You know, there's a channel guide and you have your channels to select from. They do show original episodes of GLOW. They call it something else, obviously, now because he sold the naming rights. But, yeah, you can find original episodes of the show on there. And, you know, I've watched 10 or 15 minutes at a time. I can't sit through the whole hour anymore, but it's kind of humorous to relive some of that and just see the incredibly bad skits they used to do. I mean, you know, I know you and I think some of the backstage stuff they do now is ridiculous. The GLOW stuff they did was just horrible. So,
and they got an audience, though. They did get an audience for it. And didn't McClain get a start working for Dick the Bruiser? I'm trying to remember now, out of Indianapolis, when he had his promotion.
Boy, you know, I think that is where he started, but I'm not entirely sure because I think he ran one of the one of his wrestling feds out of Indiana. So, and I don't know. Let me see what they have on him here, if they have anything interesting. Yeah, here you go. He, as a teenager, he actually started the Dick the Bruiser fan club. And then Bruiser brought him to work in the offices of the World Wrestling Association, WWA. So, yeah, that is where he got his start.
Well, there's a mark for pro wrestling. You actually became successful because of it.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's odd when you look at some of his like outside ventures. He started a roller hockey league, which is, you know, kind of interesting. And then he started the Triple Crown of Polo. So he really had some kind of out there sports.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that he would even establish a polo league. I mean, how much interest could there be in that kind of sport?
Well, you know, apparently it made it onto ESPN. So it, you know, and I, you know, it, this, you know, this was way back. Obviously, it didn't hang around, but yeah, you know, and they still do the event. It's just no longer televised. Or at least 2019 was the last year they did it.
Well,
but
the connotation for polo is always that it's been a sport for the ultra wealthy and for royalty. In England,
yes,
for example, that's what they like to participate in, polo.
Yeah, I can say I have seen it played. I've never played it, but yeah, I'm sure it's fun and intense and all the other stuff. I just, you know, wasn't something I was all that interested in.
And cricket is a very popular sport in England. I'm wondering if that's how baseball is derived. There are some aspects of it that you could see as a little bit familiar with baseball. And I'm wondering, when baseball was established here in, what, the late 1800s, 1870, 1880, if the game was established based upon, at least in part, the cricket sport that they have in England.
Yeah, you know, you almost think it has to be, don't you? I mean, as similar,
yeah,
as they are, it would be hard to believe that they didn't kind of work that in or have that in mind when they were coming up with the idea.
Yeah, you would think so. And I'm baffled about how cricket is played myself. I mean, I've seen some shows out of England and Australia where there was a cricket game going on, and I cannot figure out how you establish points and win or lose, but I'm sure they know what they're doing, and it's very popular in both Australia and England to this day.
Yeah, no, I've actually tried to watch it, and I have no idea what's going on. So,
well, there's a lot of bizarre sports. One of the most bizarre sports, I think, is curling. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So. Yeah, no, you know, with the pandemic going on, I've seen just about anything. You know, like I didn't realize there was an American Cornhole League until all this happened.
Well, I'd hate to ask how that game is played.
It's just the game where you throw the bags into the, you know, onto the platform and try to land them in the opening, and, you know, it's scored on, you know, if it goes in or how close it is. It's a very, very similar to playing horseshoes, except you're throwing,
okay,
bags onto an angular wooden platform. And, you know, when you're flipping channels, check out the Mickey Mouse Network stations, because they've always got it on.
I'm surprised that it would be interesting to see what the betting line is in Las Vegas for some of these sports.
Yeah, well, you know, and then the other thing I learned in doing this podcast was the fact that darts, which, you know, I just kind of think of as something you do at the bar when you're having a few beers, is actually a hugely popular sport in England, and they actually draw sellout crowds to matches. And I didn't know that until I saw they had a dart league on. It may have been FS1. And I recorded the first episode just to check it out. And it was insane the way these people were reacting for, you know, a couple guys throwing darts at a board.
Yeah. And if you ever seen the inside of an English pub, an English bar, I mean, they almost all have dartboards there.
Yeah, you know, and that, you know, and I know, and again, I can't remember the name of it, but, you know, like I stumbled across a sport where you race bikes on a figure eight track. So, you know, there's always the opportunity for you to crash into somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, it's not
fun.
Like
not a fun sport.
Racing on the track or anything. It's a dirt track. But yeah, it's a professional league, and again, it's overseas. I think this may have been Australia, but yeah, it actually kept my attention. I kept watching, wondering if somebody was going to run into each other. But
yeah,
you know, you if you search enough, you can find some kind of odd things that are sports, and you're like, wait, this is a sport? So
This might not be politically correct, but I believe there was a sport that I saw a couple of minutes of it years ago when they would throw little people and see how far they can throw them. Whoever threw them the farthest would win. That's an actual sport.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the name of it offhand, but it was pretty bizarre.
Yeah, well, originally, and again, this is now no longer politically correct, it used to be called midget tossing,
right.
But obviously, you know, that's now a derogatory term, and you used the correct term when you said little person.
Right.
And yeah, I don't, obviously they no longer do that, but yeah, that started out in bars. I actually saw that when I was living in Carpentersville. One of the bars we used to go to after our softball games hosted an event, and it was just kind of like, okay, this is the strangest thing. But yeah, I think it ended up popping up on TV for a little while.
Yep, there are some bizarre things out there. This being one of the most extreme examples of it.
So yeah, it's, you know, and again, with, you know, with the COVID-19 and everything going on, you know, sports fans were pretty hard up there for a while. We had nothing. So yeah, they found some interesting stuff to watch. I know on one of my networks they actually show video football games. You know, guys competing against other, and it's not Madden, the very popular Madden game. It's another version of this. So yeah, they actually show these simulations of these games against each other. So you know, it's like an E-League.
Are they allowed to do that? I mean,
yeah, you know, if you have the proper contracts, yeah, you can show that stuff. You know, NASCAR was doing iRacing for a while when they so yeah, it's definitely out there, and you know, even the Mickey Mouse Network has shown Fortnite or you know, some of the other video game things like that. So, the podcast is available to you anytime you want.